Hi, good morning, SP. Hope you're looking forward to the weekend. Let's start with a word of prayer this morning. Father God, Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Lord, we love you. And Lord, we just come to you. We ask that you refresh us, Lord, that you open our ears, our hearts, our minds, just to receive and to listen to what you have to say and speak to us this morning, whether through the message or through the parallel tracks that run in our minds as we devote this time to you in prayer. Lord, I just also pray that you will just give me an anointing just to preach the message that you have put in my heart. And Lord, we just devote this morning to you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, good morning. My name is Ian. I'll be giving message for this morning. So, the verse that I've chosen is just to start off and to perhaps just give a bit of, just to give a bit of context or give kind of the foundation on which I'm trying to preach a message today on actually resilience. And my favorite verse actually in the Bible, or the one that really stuck with me when I became a believer, was this verse in 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 to 4. So it says, it's titled in my Bible, "Confirm Your Calling and Election." It goes like this. It says, "His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire." I'm not sure why, but this verse really resonated with me because it gave me as a believer a new purpose, a new perspective in which to see my life. And it also just made me feel like I was part of a greater plan. Because it says, you may become partakers of the divine nature, you know, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. And it just felt for me that it transported me away from what I know as, you know, the secular way of doing life into something which is a lot grander than my own will, my own goals, into the divine nature. And I've escaped I had the ability because of God, because of Jesus, to escape the sinful desires that I had, my selfish desires, and just transport myself into the godly plan. So this morning, actually, I was reflecting throughout the week and listening to various sermons. And I think to draw a bit from the verse, I was also thinking that it's very difficult for us, and perhaps for, you know, a lot of people in this world, to build up grit, or what is better termed resilience in life. And life is difficult. I think we can all admit that. We all have earthly struggles, and it doesn't mean that that's unspiritual. I think earthly struggles are common, and they are also part of the way we can develop our spiritual resilience to partake in this divine nature. So, what do I mean by earthly struggles? I think, for me, it falls into kind of three categories. The earthly struggles that I myself go through would be things like family and relationships. That's one category. Family and relationships. Relationships with coworkers, relationships with friends, and of course, things at home. You know, the second one is work and finances. I think that's something which a lot of people, especially in Hong Kong, struggle with. You know, work, career, you know, aspirations, and finances. That's the second part. The other kind of struggle is, you know, health and body image. Well, lots of people like going to the gym, keep fit, We're very cautious about what we eat. And these three things, family, relationships, work, finances, health and body image, these kind of things occupy most of our waking moments. They kind of occupy most of our thoughts, and therefore they occupy most of our struggles, right? And before I was a Christian, you know, I was just working towards these things in a selfish manner. It was, why was I doing these things? If there were struggles at work, struggles in the family, you know, struggles with friendship, struggles with, you know, my body image, or struggles with health, whatever that is, you know, when I was put through those tough times, you know, why was I going through it? Why was I struggling? Why was I kind of telling myself, oh, I need to get through this, or I need to try harder? It was really because I was selfish. It was just to make sure that those things in my life were in balance. Those things in my life were working out. And if they weren't working out, I would try harder. I would stick to it. You know, if I was having a problem at work, my boss was tough, my client was tough, I would just stick with it. You know, I'll grit my teeth and just say, okay, well, this is good for me, you know, good training. But why? You know, it was mainly because I felt, okay, this will eventually maybe get me a promotion or bonus or whatever. You know, it was very self-serving. And it's very difficult to escape from those self-serving motives to get through things. And so the type of resilience I was building as, you know, a kind of a non-believer was just extremely selfish. And in some ways, it was sinful. So I suppose what I'm trying to say is things started to change when I became a Christian. And when I became a Christian, the verse that I just read in 2 Peter, it really started making me think, okay, wait a minute. I'm now transported away from kind of the earthly things, and I'm partaking in the divine nature. So what is this divine nature? Well, the divine nature is, first of all, because I'm a Christian, because I have put my faith in Jesus, I have a new identity. You know, I'm no longer just the son of my mother and father. I'm no longer just whatever I am at work. You know, I'm a lawyer by profession. I'm no longer just that. You know, I am first and foremost a son of God, right? I am in Christ. You know, Christ is in me. I have a new perspective, like what we have in the verse. I have a new eternal perspective. I have the perspective of the kingdom. And I think these are just things that we know as Christians. These are things that we hear, the rhetoric that we hear in sermons and everything. And I was reflecting a little bit more on this, because even though we know this, sometimes we don't really think deeper about it. Some of you may. I don't always think very deep. And you know, throughout my Christian walk over the 10 years, I think I come in waves and dips and so on and so forth. So I was reflecting over the week, and I was thinking about the characters in the Bible. I was thinking about the characters who, in fact, a lot of these characters in the Bible, they show so much grit, so much resilience. You know, to name just a few, Noah, Job, David, Joseph, Daniel, Moses, and all the apostles. I mean, these characters in the Bible, they showed so much amazing grit and resilience. Now, what did they do it for? Who did they do it for? You can argue some of them did it for themselves, but ultimately, these people in the Bible, you know, they had supernatural resilience, supernatural grit in life because of the God that they were serving. And Noah, you know, he built the ark in the face of adversity, in the face of ridicule by people, in the face of everyone around him saying, "You are a madman." I mean, how long did he take to build that ark and to go through all those years alone, right? Ostracized by society to build that ark. because he heard from God. And because he felt strongly that he was doing something that God told him to do. He had a purpose, regardless of what people around him were saying and thinking. I mean, Job is an interesting example. Job went through the suffering. I mean, he was in some ways tested by God. He was kind of put through literally hell by Satan, right? And all his friends were saying things to him, and he put through with it. He put up with it in many ways. He not only put up with it, he always had a godly perspective about it. You know, if I was always thinking, if I was Noah, Job, David, Joseph, Daniel, Moses, apostle, or any of the apostles, I think I would have given up. I mean, on my own strength, but for Jesus, but for the one true God that we serve, I cannot see today any other human earthly example of anyone that can go through what these people have gone through in the Bible and still put up with it and not have given up. I would have given up. In fact, even though I'm in Christ, I have doubts, right? Whether it's possible for me to have gone through the things that they've gone through and still put up with it and not have, you know, thrown in the white flag and just given up. You know, whether it's because of the pressure I feel from society, just the difficulty of life, or whether it's because I'm scared of death. I mean, the apostles, they preached the gospel in the face of death, right? But were they all, did they all start off this way? I don't think so. I think, you know, maybe with the exception of, you know, David, Joseph, and Daniel, maybe not all started off this way. I mean, Moses was timid, right? Moses didn't have the courage, and, you know, he really relied on God for that courage to stand and call out those people, his own people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. You know, God performed so many miracles for him that he started to build that courage. And same thing goes with the apostles. They were but fishermen, right? They were, you know, and not all of them were brave. But when they received the Holy Spirit, something changed. Something drastically changed for them, and they were able to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. And, you know, I think that believing in Jesus, receiving the Holy Spirit and having a new perspective is something which is going to be the key to giving us that resilience, that strength. If only we really thoroughly reflect on it and we make that our own, we really come to see from these great examples in the Bible how we can build our own spiritual resilience when we face our own earthly struggles, when we face the struggles at home, when we face struggles at work, when we face struggles with our health. You know, at some point in time, we're going to have a lot of struggles. You know, in terms of health, I've been through, you know, quite a bit. You know, starting with my first operation when I had appendicitis, I realized how weak I am. You know, when I had appendicitis, it was the first time in my life when I felt, wow, health is here today, but could be gone tomorrow. And although, thankfully, appendicitis isn't something which is fatal today, it could have been fatal. If I didn't have the operation, because my appendicitis was ruptured, if I didn't have the operation, I could have died. But going through that, I realized how weak I am, how much in the hands of a doctor or in the hands of God my life really was. You know, I had a back problem. I had scoliosis in my back, and I couldn't do anything. I couldn't walk. In fact, I couldn't even get out of my bed for weeks. You know, I felt all of a sudden that all these things happening to my body was just, it was at a point when I got so frustrated and so angry, you know, and I was just asking, why is this happening? You know, and I think, so I'm just saying that these examples will happen to many of us at different points in our life. So what is it about being in Christ which is different? Well, I think, first of all, as I said, being a child of God gives me intrinsic worth, right? It doesn't matter that I don't feel good enough sometimes about myself. It doesn't matter that I don't feel that I've done a good job. Although I try, I may not always achieve a good result. And most of the time, the internal battle in my mind is telling me, you're not good enough, you're worthless, you know, you should give up, or you should try something else. Or the flip side, these people don't deserve me, you know, I should leave this company, right, because they are terrible to me, my boss doesn't appreciate me, all this stuff, you know, and I want to give up. Because I'm getting my intrinsic worth from the external environment, or I'm getting my intrinsic worth from my body, from who I am, and from the relationships that I have. But my intrinsic worth is in God. I am a child of God, and no one can take that away from me. No one can tell me that I'm not good enough. It doesn't mean that I don't try, but it does mean that ultimately I go to God. When I have those internal struggles, internal battles, I turn to God. And God is the one that provides me with that resilience to continue. Right? I mean, Job lost all his health. Job lost his entire family. Right, Job lost his friends, basically. And he turned to God in those times. He turned to God and he just, you know, whatever he was feeling, he was praying back to God. He was saying that back to God. And he was able to get through that because he had his God, because he knew his God. Right? The value isn't in my title or my job or my accomplishments. My value and the reason why I continue living and continue in the face of any adversity I feel or I face is because I believe in God and because I can rely on God. And a lot of times it's a mental game. It's a mental war that we face. You know, our daily, you know, daily inside our hearts, inside our minds, there's always this constant struggle. It's not most of the time in this modern world, we're not faced with physical danger, we're faced with mental problems, right? Nowadays in Hong Kong, a lot of people are talking about mental health, mental awareness. I mean, the previous two companies I work for, in fact, the one I'm working for now, there's so much emphasis on mental health. And you can take a very secular view and say, we should practice meditation and mindfulness. But the other view is that the enemy is working on overdrive and overtime to battle for our minds and for our hearts. And we must not give up. When we are in Christ, we know that this battle is something that we are fighting with God and for God. You know, the Bible says, take every thought captive to Christ. Right? It doesn't say that for no good reason, because God knows that that is where we struggle most of the time. You know, resilience and grit, where does that come from? Right? That comes from a lot of times our mind. You know, I was in the army in Singapore for national service, and they used to say when we did these long marches, you know, 42 kilometers, 72 kilometers, whatever it is, it said that it's not about your body. It's not about your body. It's about your mind. It's about whether your mind is going to give up. You know, if your mind doesn't give up, your body will just follow suit. Your body might feel tired, but if you put your mind to it, if you can build up your mental resilience, you will be able to complete that. And yes, most of the time, you feel physically tired first. But as long as your mind is fixated on something, as long as you're able to draw some kind of mental strength from something, from some objective, some goal, somehow I felt my body could follow and I could complete whatever I had. And I suppose the same thing is true. If we fixate ourselves on God, you know, in the same way Daniel fixated himself on God in when he was serving Nebuchadnezzar, right? When he was, you know, going through all that, he was serving kind of the person who persecuted his God, the God he believed in. You know, Joseph as well, when he was thrown in jail for no good reason. And all those years he served, you know, Potiphar. All these people were facing adversity and they had to overcome this by clinging on to their God, by saying, no, I will pray to my God, right? I will still act righteously and I will still act in a godly manner no matter what my external environment says, And that's the true spiritual resilience that I want, right? That I really desire from these examples in the Bible. That's the true spiritual resilience that I think in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 to 4, that's really where I see my ability to partake in the divine nature and escape from the world, from the sinful desires that I had before I was a Christian. And I suppose the other thing is, the last part is just that eternal purpose, right? That eternal impact. You know, as I said, before I was a Christian, what was my purpose? What was I doing things for? It was just for myself. But now we have an eternal purpose. We have God's kingdom to think about. Now, not everything we do might have in our minds a direct correlation to God's kingdom, right? I think it's very easy for us to think that as missionaries, you will have a direct impact on God's kingdom. You will preach the gospel to those who have never heard the gospel. Yes, of course that's true. And most of us probably struggle with the fact that a lot of things that we do in life, the decisions we make in life, have no exact impact on what we may term the God's kingdom of bringing people to Christ. You know, a lot of us are just going through our daily routine, our work, our families and everything. So we might be thinking to ourselves, what has that got to do with God's kingdom? What has that got to do with God's eternal kingdom? Well, it's got a lot to do with it, actually. Because as I look at these examples, you know, some of them have specific examples. Noah had a specific calling. You know, some of us have specific callings. But a lot of us were just living our lives. But then again, Job was just living his life. Job was just living his life, getting along just fine. You know, was he writing, you know, I don't know, perhaps he was doing good things for his society, his community around him. But the book of Job is just a book about his life. Right? I'm downplaying it a bit. Right, I mean, a lot of people were just living their normal life. But what happened was that God made an example of their life. Job got written into the Bible for eternity. His life was an example for a lot of us. You know, I was thinking of King David as well. I was thinking King David, okay, he wrote most of the Psalms, right? A lot of it was a demonstration of his life. He made mistakes. He went to war. He killed people. But it was the way he led his life that, and the way it was kind of recorded in the Bible that gives us that example of what a godly person looks like, right? Sometimes when we go through our normal daily life, it may not look like we're serving necessarily directly the kingdom of God. But we are in many respects because we are a living testament, right? We are a living example. Today on this earth, we are a living example. Although we may not be, we cannot add to the Bible, you know, we have a great cloud of witnesses above us and around us, looking at how we're going to live out the gospel that now we have received and how we're going to be different. I believe there is a book of life. You know, when we, as believers, when we get to heaven, I believe there's a book of life. And I do not know what is the purpose for God recording this other than to tell us what we've done right and what we've done wrong. But maybe, just maybe, when we are in eternity, the things that we've done in this life would be examples, would be references, would be some sort of teaching, education material. I believe that our life here on earth, once we are in Christ, just adds a completely new eternal dimension to it. Whatever we choose to say or do, however mundane it is, takes on a completely different meaning. Our trajectory is different. Our perspective is different. What we do has eternal impact for the kingdom of God. We're given a purpose, you know. When in 2 Peter, when it says, you confirm your calling and election, the other thing that really struck me was, I now have a new godly purpose. I have a purpose in the kingdom of God because there's a calling from God. There's an election from God. Right? He chose us. We didn't choose him. And if he chose us, there must be a reason for that. Right? And that just completely puts on a new reason why I need to develop my grit, why I need to develop my resilience in life, why I cannot give up in the face of adversity. Because there's something greater. There's something far greater than what I'm trying to achieve on earth. I'm trying to achieve something which is more divine and partake in that divine nature. So, just reading out some verses as well from 1 Peter chapter 1 and further down in verse 4 to 6, it says, "This inheritance and the godly inheritance that we achieve on earth is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials." In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 to 17, it says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." So in conclusion, there's a very short verse from Acts chapter 13, verse 36. It's about David. It says, "For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep." Another translation adds a bit to it, and it reads, "For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, according to the will of God, he fell asleep." Now, one day we're all going to fall asleep. One day we're all going to pass on. And I think at that time, what we will be hoping for and what we'll be thinking about is, have we served God's purpose, right? If we are in Christ, we would be thinking, have we served God's purpose according to the will of God? And then we fall asleep. And if I can testify, if I can say that on my deathbed, I think that would be the most peaceful way to go. And I think the flip side of us is the scary part, is if I do not know who Jesus is, if I do not know who the one true God is, how can I know that my life has meaning? How can I know that my life has purpose? And so today, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know who the one true God is, perhaps today is the time to just reflect on that and to think about it. Because for me, I can testify that knowing Jesus has completely changed my life. I just invite any listeners who are thinking about this, who are listening in and may not have known Jesus, to put their mind about it, to think about it, to read a gospel and to reflect on what I've just said. And perhaps just one more example, and then I'll end here, about Daniel. I'm just reading off a quote, a narrative, a description about Daniel, which I really like as well. It says, "Daniel did God's work simply by being a righteous man in every situation he found himself." Perhaps that's what we can do. Daniel did God's work simply by being a righteous man in every situation he found himself. That's what we can do. That's where we can build our resilience for. His specific job description was advisor to the kings of Babylon and prime minister to the Persian king Darius. Often God put Daniel directly into situations, such as Nebuchadnezzar's having an amazing dream in which he was able to use his talents to interpret dreams. But one can assume he was simply a very powerful man who trusted in God on a daily basis, which is why God was able to use him. And my hope and my prayer is that we can all learn from this example and be a righteous person in every situation that we find ourselves, every single stress or anxiety that we come under, that on a daily basis, we trust that one true God. So I'll just invite Marcus. Thank you very much. Worship. And perhaps I'll close in prayer. Father God, I just, we come to you and we thank you for the fact that you have not left us as orphans, that when we came to believe in your Son, Lord Jesus, you also reminded us that we are not alone. You reminded us that we are not alone because you knew, and you tell us in your word that we will face trials of various kinds. We pray even that the trials that we face will allow us to partake in the suffering of Jesus. Though now in the modern world, a lot of us, especially in SP, especially in Hong Kong, we may not be persecuted for our faith, and we may not be participating in the true sense of the suffering that Christ suffered. But perhaps in our own way, in our own struggles, however private they may be, we can find and rely on the righteousness that comes from you on a daily basis. We can build that mental resilience to partake in that divine nature, in that eternal perspective, in that eternal plan that you have called us to, each individually and also as a body of Christ. And we pray that by leading a righteous life, by persevering in Christ, we will be able to serve your eternal kingdom, and we will be able to serve the eternal purpose that you have called us to. Lord, we love you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Out of me, your love never fails, never gives up.
Let us go into a time of community prayer, and let us pray for members who are suffering from illnesses, cancer, and we just pray for salvation. We pray for God's hand over our friends and friends of friends. And we also just want to lift up our friends and our members of our congregation, their family members, suffering from various types of other illnesses, Lord. And we just also pray that you will send your angels just to speak to them, speak to their hearts, and just to bring salvation into their lives, and not just physical salvation, but spiritual salvation, Lord. And there's also a list of people who are suffering from other types of infirmities, physical infirmities. And we just also pray for God's healing, pray for God's peace. We just pray that their spirits will be built up in this time. For a lot of these people I've been on the list for some time, we just pray that God will be by their side just to also build them up spiritually and have the patience as they go through just all these physical ailments and infirmities in their lives. signal. So we move on to praying for our friends who are looking for jobs. Lord, we also pray that you will grant them that serenity as they wait for you to open up that job offer to them, Lord. Last but not least, we go on to our mission focus. We want to pray for God to continue to give us opportunities to minister in North Korea, and also give us opportunities in partnerships in the rest of Asia, to send parts of our bodies there to minister and to bring the gospel into those areas. We also pray for our brothers and sisters in the persecuted churches in the Middle East. We pray for God's protection and covering over them. And we remember them. And we partner with them in mind and in spirit and in prayer. We pray also for the SP weekend gatherings, the migrant workers outreach, Sunday service to come. Pray for SP kids. Pray for your blessing and anointing over worship, over the hospitality team. We also just pray for just your tenderness over the SP youth, spin, spill services and activities, and all the meetings that will be happening and planning for the weekend, Lord. We also pray for those of us who are meeting up at our house churches just to reflect on the sermon message from last week. We just pray for a time of fellowship, great fellowship and refreshment as we come together. We pray for Hollywood, we pray for King's Court, we pray for Mawan, we pray for the Southside gatherings happening this weekend. We just pray for fruitful and blessed time that they have together in their bodies. We also just want to continue to pray for protection over Hong Kong, the city that many of us call home, the city that many people come and go as well. We just pray, God, that you will be the center and bedrock of us as we live in this city that is going through, and like many other cities, is going through a turmoil. And we just ask for, you know, what we've been talking about this morning, that mental resilience, that spiritual resilience, to go through these things and to go through and still to have that godly perspective, to rely on you and to pray, Lord, for your kingdom and for your light to shine through even though we are facing difficult times in Hong Kong. We pray for healing in this land. We pray for healing of relationships as well in this land. And pray that you will just fill the brokenness and the cracks that have happened in this land, in this city that we call home. So Lord, we bless your name. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Okay, have a good prayer time.